Joshua chapter 19. Well, here again we've got these long detailed descriptions of the various inheritances of some of the tribes, quite a few of the tribes in this chapter. And you read them and you think, this is all a bit boring, all this list of names. And you know, unfortunately it was probably the same for them, but the difference was that they were supposed to hear all this and think, oh wow, this is my inheritance in the kingdom. Well, let's go get it. Joshua had defeated all the kings, and they could have just gone there and inherited the land, but they didn't. They thought, I've got my bit of farmland, that's good, I'm just okay here. Yeah, okay, so Joshua is telling us that we can inherit this far bigger territory. I'm not really interested in all that list of names. And sadly, it's that mentality that stops people possessing the kingdom today. They're just happy with their very narrow existence, and that's it. They don't want to see beyond that, that you can go far beyond just having your place where you live and your study place or your job or whatever it is. You can go far beyond that and inherit what God has prepared for you. But unfortunately, they didn't. And you read here how, for example, the inheritance of Judah and Simeon was kind of put together, for the portion of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. Well, God knew what he was doing when he gave Judah the inheritance that he defined, but Judah didn't want to drive out all the tribes that were there. They didn't want to possess the land completely. And God sort of goes along with that. Although he gave them the defined inheritance because he knew they could get it, okay, they were too weak. So, okay, he goes down to a lower level. It's not for us to think that we can just go down to lower levels, but God does at times do that. He does recognize that, okay, so you're not going to make it. Right, okay. And you see quite a lot of this going on, that people just don't live up to the potential which they could. And fair enough, God allows that and goes with it. And also people want that which God has not, in fact, intended for them. You see this in verse 47, that the children of Dan go up and fight against Leshem and take it and strike it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and live there. Well, it wasn't necessarily God's intention they did that. They just like the idea of going there. And on the same way, when you come to Joshua personally, in verse 50, they gave Joshua the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he built the city and lived there. It's rather like Caleb asking for Hebron and getting it. And so God is open to dialogue with us. That, okay, Dan wanted Leshem, Caleb wanted Hebron, Joshua wanted Timnath-Serah. Okay, God will go that way. You see, he's not like the God of Islam or the old Greek gods that were just stone-faced and this is it, this is what I say, this is what you shall do, and no dialogue. It's not for us to change God's requirements. It's not for us to change his ways. And his requirements for us, but he is open to dialogue. And I think he's like that because he, above all things, wants relationship with us. Like when he says to Hezekiah, you're going to die right now. Or no, Hezekiah says, please, could I not? Okay, God gave him another 15 years. God says to Moses, I'm going to destroy Israel and make of you a greater nation. Just leave me alone so I can do that. Or don't do that, Moses says. And okay, God listens to him. So God is open to dialogue. And this is what gives prayer so much meaning, that you can discuss with God, oh God, would you please not do this? Could I do this? What about this way? And God is open, as it were, to that dialogue. This is wonderful, that God Almighty, living in heaven so far from us, would be so open to us.